This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we always do well when we check in with our dear brother. In fact, we don't check in often enough, as far as I'm concerned. He is probably the most articulate when it comes to economic policy, when it comes to African Americans, and ultimately the best economic policy for us benefits the whole of the nation. We are happy, as always, to be joined and also to talk about their latest annual publication. We always check in with the State of Black America, the National Urban League president, our dear brother, Mark Morial. My brother, how are you?
Hey, Mark, good morning. And it is always great to check in with you, and you know how much we appreciate your voice, your truth telling, your advocacy, and also the way in which you ensure that we continue to have a way to talk to people all across the nation. So good morning, and thank you for having me.
No, thank you, brother. And thank you for all you do. I have been following the State of Black America publication since I was in high school. And I think John Jacob was the president back in those days.
He was.
God bless him. God bless him. But man, so what in this year, 2022, any big changes coming out of a pandemic?
So let me first of all just level set, and it's great to know you followed the State of Black America, by letting everyone know the genesis of this report. It's 1976, Vernon Jordan, and he listens to the State of the Union address delivered by then President Ford, and he heard President Ford didn't mention civil rights, black people, poverty, urban communities, completely ignored the challenges and the plights. And Vernon said, I'll do my own report. And thus, he pulled together a set of scholars, black scholars, and the State of Black America was born. Fast forward to 2022, most of the statistical information predates the pandemic because there's a lag in reporting time. The truth is that what you saw in the pre-pandemic, and this is really the period of the economic recovery, which began under Barack Obama and continued into 2020, was the narrowing slightly of differentials in economics. Slight, but noted, because it's the first time they'd moved in many, many years. But you saw a backtracking when it came to social justice, and a backtracking when it came to education on an overall basis. And those are the numbers as they are. And, you know, you can dig further into it, but what's the bottom line? The disparities between blacks and whites when it comes to social and economic conditions remains wide. It's a gap on a scale of 100 of some 26 to 27 points, the way we score it. So blacks score at about 74. White score at 100, thus you have the gap. The disparities are real. But, Mark, this year, as we have done in recent years, we decided to narrow in, put a microscope, a periscope, and a telescope on one big overriding issue, and that's voting rights and democracy. Because our right to vote is under assault, it's under attack. there's been a campaign by bad actors, far-right interests, now since 2008. It really accelerated under Obama's, after Obama's election. And since Obama's election, there have been 500 bills introduced in state legislatures across the nation to make it more difficult to allow voter purges, to block formerly incarcerated from voting, if in states when, even in Florida, where the voters had authorized it. We see voter ID requirements, gerrymandering, just as though everything is being thrown up against the wall to try to make it more difficult for people to vote, but with a focus in particularity on Black people. Now, it took a dramatic acceleration, double acceleration, after January 6th. January 5th, Warnock and Ossoff get elected to the Senate. Georgia goes blue. It sent shockwaves through this far-right crowd, this set of bad actors, January 6th. And then it was January 7th. What happened on January 7th? The beginning of a literal tsunami of hundreds and hundreds more legislation being proposed in states across the nation to make it harder for people to vote. Take away early voting, take away vote by mail, allow purging, close polling places, come up with strict voter ID laws, say you have to print your driver's license number on an absentee ballot, on and on and on and on and on. Now, added to that was a strategy by bad actors and far-right interests to get the Supreme Court involved. And they were successful in doing so. So the Supreme Court has issued a number of decisions that have weakened the Voting Rights Act. Here you are 50 years after the passage of the bill, and the Supreme Court is somehow looking at it and rewriting the legislation by judicial fiat. And I call it rewriting it by judicial fiat because any lawyer, any civil rights lawyer who looks at these decisions knows that this is just courts, right-wingers on the court legislating, seeking to legislate through jurisprudence. All that to say, the battle right now is to protect and fight for the right to vote. And I'm disappointed but not defeated that the United States Senate has been the graveyard of Voting Rights Act bills. The failure of the Senate to act this year is a tragedy, notwithstanding 48 all Democratic senators, two standing in the way of a filibuster modification, all Republicans standing in the way of any real meaningful legislation. So we are in a battle for American democracy, for the right to vote. I say to people all the time, you know, economic policy, housing policy, minimum wage, child tax credit, reparations legislation, you name it, you can't get it done in the Congress unless we vote and have people who are aligned with our views. And we, I think the 2020 election may have been misread. In other words, it was a victory, but in the Senate, it was a narrow, narrow victory, but not really a legislative victory of mindset. It was a victory on paper that allowed the Senate to do some important things, you know, confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson, for example, confirm a record number of African-American judges. So State of Black America, the final thing I want to say before we have a quick dialogue is it's there for the community, activists, scholars, students, elected officials, policy wonks, interested citizens who really want to center their discussion about race and racial justice in this country around a set of facts and observations. We have a number of authors who've written for the report this year. We have Senator Charles Schumer and Maxine Waters, for example, and a number of others. We always invite electeds, activists, some business leaders. We want people to comment on the state of Black America from their perspective. So check out the report. The report is there. And the final thing is, what made this year exciting, Mark, we released the report at Clark Atlanta University on the campus with the students, with President French, students from all of the Atlanta University schools, Morehouse Spelman, Morris Brown, and Clark Atlanta University. And that was powerful. to be there with the students. And it's just something I think we all have to do more of, is to lean into a greater cross-generational dialogue about the issues that face us.
No, absolutely. Very, very important. And, in terms of voting rights and voter suppression, our access to the ballot, and we'll note the state of Black America does point to some economic improvement for African Americans since 2020. But all that
pre-2020, we don't have the
right
the numbers. This was sort of right before 2020, some limited improvement.
Limited improvement, but any improvement ultimately, and any development in status economically, education wise, otherwise, healthcare wise, is predetermined by our access to the ballot, is it not?
Yes, sir.
So, you mess with that, then that puts all of that in jeopardy, doesn't it?
Time and time again, Mark, across the long arc of history, federal legislation has been important to the liberation, the advancement, the move of this nation towards economic and social justice. And that's just the fact. It's not the only factor. It's why historically A. Philip Randolph and Martin King and Whitney Young and the Great Big Six and many, many others fought for. And Malcolm said, give us the ballot and we won't need a bullet. I mean, across all leadership in our community, the fight for the right to vote and the understanding that the federal government has its responsibility for America's vulnerable, for America's locked out and left out. We must vote and we have to not. Right now, Mark, I'm really, I think one of the big enemies is cynicism and some sense of dejection. The fact that, well, maybe it doesn't matter. The minute we think it doesn't matter, we have psychologically surrendered into the hands of those who in closed offices are just smiling and saying, boy, if they just stay home a little bit, we're good. We're good. And we've got to remember that cynicism is not a strategy. Frustration is not a viable tactic. And those of us that have the opportunity to have the ear of the community, you know, have to balance, our outrage with the need to continue to motivate people to do the work and continue the fight for justice in the country.
No question about it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In terms of just looking at some of the categories as well. So when we look, and folks, it's always fascinating to look at the equality index, because what that actually tells us is where we are in comparison to full equality, how close we are to that, what percentage or lack of a percentage we come to when it comes to full equality. And as President Morales said to us, we're overall at about 73.9%. And when we break down the categories, it's really interesting. I think right now we look at education, 74.5%, health, 84%, which I'm sure is directly attributable to the gains in the Affordable Care Act. That's why that was so important. Economics I see is 62.1%. Let's talk about that for a minute. So when we say economically, we're at 62.1%. What are some of the main factors there?
When we point. So one thing is family income. Look at a black household, you compare it to a white household. What's that number? Black households, median, about 45,000, somewhere in that range. White households, about 75,000. So it means that half of all black households are below 45, and half are above 45. Half of all white households are below 75, and half are above 75. So we look at that. Home ownership rates. What's the percentage of blacks, the percentage of whites that own homes? For blacks, it's 42.3. For whites, it's in the maybe high 60s. That's another comparison. Another comparison is the unemployment rate. Right now, for whites, it's about 3.5. For blacks, it's 6.5. So you can see along the lines, these disparities, and there are many, many others. Percentage of mortgage denials. The government keeps numbers on the number of people who apply for a mortgage and are denied. And those percentages are kept by race. So we have a whole set of things we look at. And I like to say to people, the reason why this is important is because we need to have just the facts, baby. I mean, we need to have discussions in our community, but we need to be centered around the facts. And that's why this equality index is so important. You got to kind of dig into the details to look at the specificity. And the reason why we did the index is to try to make it easier for people to sort of grasp a complex set of information. But this is the best comparative index that exists. And secondarily, it is the only comparative index that is done by a historic African-American organization.
Yeah, no, that is very important. We talked about social justice and economics. I just want to maybe hit one more category before we park. Talk to us about the category of education and what that covers.
So it's interesting, Mark. I was in a conversation last night with the president of Chicago State University here in Chicago. Of course, Chicago State is what's known as a PBI, predominantly black institution, but not a historically black institution. And she shared with me, and this is interesting. So the college, high school and college graduation rates and the gap seem to have improved somewhat over the years, but it appears as though the black college enrollment rates are declining, you know, fewer and fewer. And I asked the president last evening, president of Chicago State University, is that because of student loans? Is that because of tuition? What do you attribute to the declining number of African Americans who are choosing to attend college? She said, I'm not sure. There are multiple factors. So in education, what concerns me is when we get the post-pandemic numbers, we're going to see that this pandemic put a hit, a tremendous hit on the achievement levels of black kids, because if they couldn't participate virtually for whatever reasons over the last 2 years while their schools are virtual, the prospect is they've lost ground. Now, what's the good news? The Biden administration appropriated more money for Title I and more money for school districts than in the history of Title I. So there are resources, loud and clear. People say, what has the administration and the Congress done? Well, if you look at the funding for education, it's what we have been asking for generations. Now, it's one-time money, but it is an opportunity for school districts to respond. So in next year and the year after, we'll have a better set, but the pandemic's challenge to both health, education, economics, we're not totally sure or clear on yet until we get another set of more updated information and numbers. We instinctively know, but we don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks, we invite you to check out the report. Just some other highlights we want to bring forward. A decrease in terms of Black students is in the health category. Black students are less likely to consider suicide. Prostate, the death rate of African-American men from prostate cancer has tripled. Since the last report, the Black girls twice as likely as white girls to be obese. The share of African Americans age 20 or older diagnosed with diabetes decreased. I mean, there are a lot of areas here that just aren't covered by the mainstream media. It talks too as well in terms of social justice, in terms of death rates, gun violence, for example, firearm-related death rates for Black men aged 45 to 64 decrease. African-Americans were three times as likely as whites to be incarcerated after an arrest, so that has increased. All of this, African Americans are still more likely than whites to be union members and to be represented by unions. So it really looks at every category and quantifies it. We talk a lot about what we think we know and feel from anecdotal experiences, but what the state of Black America always does and has always done is give us a real quantifier in terms of what is happening. So, folks, we invite you to check it out. Go to NUL.org and see the latest report, and all the past reports are there as well. Lastly, Mark, it seems fixed that the Black unemployment rate is always twice that of the white employment rate. And whenever I have economists on the show,
Bernie Anderson, who's one of the deans of Black economists in the country, retired Wharton University professor, was one of my professors when I attended UPenn, is an economics advisor to the National Urban League. And he tells me in every single briefing that this number has almost been in suspended animation for 40 years. And he uses an analogy that I have borrowed continuously, and it's the caboose on the train analogy. Because he says, look, when the economy speeds up and the unemployment rate goes down, Black people are still twice as likely to be unemployed as white people, even if their unemployment rate comes down. So that disparity, and that's that, when we talk about structural racism, Mark, when we talk about it in an economic sense, it means that these comparative numbers seem to have a fixation and suspended animation. They're like the distance between the planets. It doesn't change. And that's the work of equity. See, when we talk about equity, we're talking about changing that differential. We're talking about achieving parity in these numbers. And that's got to be the work of now.
NUL.org, our friend and brother, Marc Morial, president of the National Urban League, former mayor of New Orleans. So, I mean, he also has had experience when it comes to budgets and economies and cities and what is and isn't happening in our big cities when it comes to our people and our healthcare, our employment, all of those good things. NUL.org. Mark, as always, we thank
you. Hey, Mark, appreciate you, man. Right. Keep telling the truth, my brother.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.